Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 5th, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with James Martin about how reducing hippo signaling might improve the ability of the heart to regenerate. It's obviously important that organs grow during embryonic development, but it's equally important that growth be halted when an organ reaches the right size. The kinase hippo prevents overgrowth of the heart by suppressing the ability of the transcriptional coactivator YAP to promote expression of genes required for cell proliferation. But mechanisms that limit organ growth during development can reduce the ability of organs to regenerate following injury later in life. So although hippo signaling is important during embryogenesis to keep the developing heart from growing too much, it limits the ability of heart cells to regenerate in mature animals following injury. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, a group from James Martin's lab at the Baylor College of Medicine has found that in addition to promoting the expression of genes that drive cell proliferation, YAP also promotes expression of genes that remodel the cytoskeleton to help cells migrate toward sites of injury. Their findings suggest that inhibiting hippo signaling might be beneficial for promoting healing in damaged hearts. Martin spoke to me from Houston, Texas. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast, Dr. Martin.
Thank you, Annalisa. Thanks for the invitation.
YAP is a transcriptional coactivator that promotes expression of genes that drive cell proliferation, and hippo signaling reduces cell proliferation by inhibiting YAP activity. But YAP activity can also be controlled in other ways. What other factors influence the activity of YAP?
Yes, you're right. YAP is regulated by multiple cellular inputs. Kinases are what we've been focusing our attention on by knocking out in mice the hippokinases, but also mechanical signaling is an important input that regulates YAP activity. So it's known that depending upon the type or the stiffness of matrix that a cell is cultured on, as an aside, most of these mechanical signaling experiments have been done in vitro. But anyway, the type of matrix that the cell is cultured on has a large influence on where YAP is located within the cell. So on stiffer matrices, YAP tends to be nuclear, and softer matrices, and it's more cytoplasmic. Also, the cell shape, the size of the cell, all those things can influence where YAP is found in the cell.
Using mice that lacked hippo signaling in the heart, meaning that YAP activity wasn't being inhibited by hippo there, your group went looking for genes that are directly activated by YAP in cardiomyocytes, the muscle cells of the heart, during regeneration. What sorts of genes did you identify?
Yes, we went looking for direct YAP target genes in cardiac muscle. The idea was that we wanted to understand the genes which are important for cardiac regeneration, which is promoted by YAP. We identified YAP targets using deep sequencing approaches, and the genes we found were cell cycle genes, which you could have perhaps predicted based on previous experiments that we had done and others also. We also found cytoskeletal regulators, so genes that regulate cell shape and cell movement. And interestingly, among those genes that we found are genes that, when mutated in humans, are implicated or can cause muscular dystrophies. And so that was relatively unexpected. Those genes are genes which are important for linking the actin cytoskeleton within the cell to the extracellular matrix that surrounds the cell. And they're thought to be important for stabilizing the plasma membrane of the muscle cell.
How does YAP's ability to promote the expression of those cytoskeletal regulators affect regeneration in the heart?
The fact that YAP regulates cytoskeletal genes, we think, is important for the heart muscle cells that are near the injured part of the heart, so what are known as the border zone cells. We think it's important for those cells to remodel their cytoskeleton, sort of change their shape, and push out cellular processes and perhaps even migrate out into the defect. So the part of the heart that has been damaged. And we think that this helps repair the heart defect more effectively.
And how does removing YAP inhibition by HIPPO affect the behavior of heart cells in response to injury?
So after we remove HIPPO and sort of unleash the activity of YAP in an injured heart, one of the first things that we see is there's a lot more cell cycle activity. So there's a lot more proliferation of those cardiomyocytes. But also, to get back to what the cytoskeletal genes are doing, is we see a lot more movement. Well, we have evidence that there's a lot more movement of cells into the defect. The cells change their shape. They change their polarity, which changes how the cells line up surrounding the defect. And we think that this is all important because the way that the heart muscle is organized is very precise. And in order for this organization of the cardiomyocytes to be recovered in the repairing heart, we think that the cardiomyocytes have to be lined up correctly in the border zone surrounding the defect in order for that cardiomyocyte superorganization to come back correctly. And this is important for function of the heart.
Is healing after injury improved when you inhibit HIPPO in the heart?
Yes. After we injure the heart and remove HIPPO signaling, there's a lot of evidence now that cardiac repair is much improved. There's new cardiomyocytes that are made. And also, there's resistance of the remaining cardiomyocytes to injury. So removing HIPPO is very beneficial after injuring the heart.
Is it feasible to think about using HIPPO inhibition as a means of improving healing and regeneration in humans?
It is feasible to think about using HIPPO inhibition as a method to treat heart disease by improving regeneration of tissue. There's a lot of interest in that, actually, in that particular question right now. And the key issue would be to try to develop ways to inhibit the HIPPO pathway in a safe manner. HIPPO, as you might imagine, is involved in many different cellular events, and it's known that if you remove HIPPO in the liver, for example, you might cause cancer in the liver. So yes, we think that it's feasible, but more work needs to be done to find more targeted ways to inhibit the HIPPO pathway, specifically in the heart.
You mentioned inhibition of HIPPO signaling specifically being linked to the development of liver cancer, for example, because HIPPO signaling represses cell proliferation. But even if you target HIPPO inhibition to the heart, could that lead to increased proliferation of cardiac myocytes and cardiac hypertrophy?
Yeah, so if we remove too much HIPPO, since HIPPO is a very important negative regulatory pathway, it is possible that by doing that, removing too much of the HIPPO pathway, that we could actually result in cardiac hypertrophy. And so it's very important that we devise ways to inhibit the pathway in a transient manner, not in an irreversible manner, which is what we do in the animal models. So we would try to develop targeted methods that would only inhibit the HIPPO pathway for a very short period of time. And the thinking would be that if you can do that, then you can go in and you can deliver these, say, molecules, for example, and you could closely monitor the patient. And if they needed more inhibition of the pathway, then you can go back and do that. But it would be very critical to only inhibit the pathway in a transient manner and be able to monitor that very closely.
The idea is to find a balance in YAP activity, activating it just enough to promote repair, but not activating it long term.
The idea of balance is critical. I totally agree. If we lose that balance, we run into this possibility of causing hypertrophy or, you know, other deleterious effects. But if we can maintain that balance, then we can actually regenerate tissue, which is really remarkable, actually, to think that we could do that.
Dr. Martin, thanks for talking with me.
Annalisa, thanks for the invitation. It was a pleasure.
That was James Martin discussing a paper published in the May 5th issue of Science Signaling by Morikawa and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, Serving Society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.